This is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. And on this week's Radio Today programme, Gary Davis talks to me about Radio 2 live in Hyde Park this weekend and about his accidental return to BBC Network Radio after 23 years. James Quinlan takes us through some Lazy Buggles headlines, his favourite subject as that song turns 40. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, Moyles clocks up a record on breakfast at Radio 1. Wogan announces his breakfast departure. It's hello to Radio Norfolk, Centre Radio and Leicester Sound. And we've got memories of Listen With Mother.
Today. The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, working with the world's leading broadcasters and equipment suppliers to transform industry standard technologies and workflows.
But first, Radio Today's editor and founder Roy Martin is here. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. Are you well?
I thought you were. Are we doing that still?
No, we're not doing that. No. Leave that to Greg and Chris.
Have you got a new catchphrase? Yes, I'm good, thank you. So a couple of weeks ago when we were on, we were talking about the five new stations from Global. Only three of them have gone on D1. We thought they all might be national DAB services, but it turns out they aren't. Have you been listening to some of them? What do you think?
I have. It was quite a busy week, wasn't it, for Global? They know how to do things like that. I've been listening to Smooth Country, which I did before in a way. I've not done Smooth Chill yet. Reloaded sounded good. And 90s, I popped in for a little while, but 70s is the one where I'm at. I keep listening to Carlos in the Morning. And it sounds great, and it's more radio, so it can only be a good thing, right?
Yes. No, I've been listening to a bit of 70s. I had that on the drive home from work the other morning after a night shift, and I do like the 90s one though. It's my jam, is that 90s pop. It's where I'm at, and absolute 90s is great. It does what it is, but it's a bit too indie and bit too cool for me. I was a pop kind of guy.
You were never cool, were you? You were never cool in the 90s. You were never cool any decade, to be fair.
No, I'm still not cool either. No. But another hold my beer moment, really, as well, because Heart 70s came along and then Bauer said, hang on a minute, we're going to put a presenter on Absolute 70s then.
Yeah, Tony Dibben, he's a good jock and at home on Absolute Radio 70s, but Absolute Radio 70s isn't actually a radio station. It's just, it is a radio station, but it's only online. I don't think it's on any DAB multiplexes anymore, not even Inverness, where they shun stations that they don't want to lose the DAB license for. It's just online. So maybe now Heart 70s is here, they're going to reverse that and bring it back to, I don't know, London at least on DAB. But it seems to be one of the less loved decade stations from Bauer, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so we've got presenters on four of these new global stations. Carlos on 70s, Kevin Hughes on 90s, Sasha Brooks on Capital Extra Reloaded, and Eamon Kelly on Country, but Chill's just non-stop music. But in all this as well, they've killed a couple of services. So Chill has gone and The Arrow has died.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's just been ticking along nicely and loved by its few listeners. And so with Chill as well, there's so much feedback on Chill just disappearing, especially from, I think, the Nottingham multiplex where it was hanging out randomly. They could have kept it on in Nottingham and just put the word smooth in, but it's a whole different format from what I can gather. So yeah, a few changes, and it's all good, isn't it? It's all good for radio.
Yeah, more changes to come as well, we think. There's going to be some more global branded stations around the Midlands very soon.
Oh, there are, yeah, because Quidem has entered a little deal with Global. I presume what happened here is that Global said, we're going to buy you, that's the end of it, here's lots of money. But they looked at all the competition with the CMA and everything, they probably wouldn't get through. So Quidem will exist just like Communicore and license the brands from Global. And it's not clear cut what the stations are going to be. You'd automatically think Capital to extend the reach of Capital Birmingham.
Yeah.
But a couple of the licenses and frequencies could easily fill in a bit of Heart and a bit of Smooth in places as well, so we shall watch that with interest.
And Quidem will have to do their own local show. They can't take a regional one from Global because it's got a different owner, so like the Smooth Lake District, Smooth Northwest problem.
Yeah, so if it is just one brand like Capital, they'll need literally one presenter. If it's a few, they'll need a few presenters. So we shall see what happens.
And talking of reductions in presenters, all those changes now from a few weeks ago that we're talking about have all started happening at the start of September. So Angie Greaves has taken over Smooth Drive Time across the country, and Hits Radio has got the Hits Radio Network now has a shared Drive Time program with Wes. I've not had a chance to listen actually yet, but I'm sure he's doing a great job.
I've not heard it either. We've been busy with life and writing about radio I mean, it's easy just to tell Alexa to put the radio on, isn't it? But seemingly none of us have got around to it just yet. Maybe we should have a listen later today.
Yeah, I'm going to listen this week. I'll put it on my list.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.
Now, there's been quite a lot of people changes as well over the last couple of weeks, the biggest of which is the promotion of James Rear at Global. He's the new Parkey, Director of Broadcasting. Well done, James.
Yeah, well done, James. He's done well and well-deserved. He's been there for quite a long time, running LBC and more recently Heart. And well done, James. He needs some red cards and some yellow cards. I was going to send him some from Amazon the other day, but thought better of it. They'd probably just go straight in the bin. You know, I said, you know, Leona Graham's done her house up. I don't know if you follow her on the socials, but she's got a brand new home office. So I sent her a wall planner.
A Radio Today wall planner?
Yeah, for a wall, because it looked quite bare and it's all radio, and I thought she'd appreciate it. You know what she said?
What?
Nothing. Not heard anything back from her at all.
Come on, Leona.
So if you know her, just ask her if a long tube arrived in the post for her.
Well, maybe when the 2020 wall planner comes out, she might put one of those up. And you never know, James might put one in his office as well, if you're lucky.
They're in all offices, apart from Leona Graham's and James Rear's. Yeah.
So a few changes at Global as a result of James getting the promotion. They're kind of shuffling about some of the management team. So Tom Cheel, James's deputy at LBC, takes over as managing editor there. Tim John is the new head of Global's newsroom. And Andrew Bailey, who was an absolute, went off to Sky News, back in radio now with Global. He's the new digital managing editor for News and LBC. They've kind of been distributing the brands a bit as well under James. So Sam Jackson is going to look after Gold as well as Classic and Smooth. There's a new managing editor for Capital Extra, Al Smith. And some other big news actually from Leicester Square. Mike Walsh leaving after quite a long time now. I think he's been 18 years involved with XFM and Radio X.
He has, yeah. He has been XFM over the years, hasn't he? So good luck to Mike, wherever you are going.
Yeah, and incoming is Christian Smith, who returns to Leicester Square, used to be at Capital, has been recently at Virgin and a group programmer of music for Wireless. And he's going back to be the music programmer for Global across all their brands. He's replaced at News UK by James Grove, who's promoted to be the group head of music at Wireless. So lots of changes.
And an interesting title there for Andrew Bailey, digital managing editor. Is there an analog managing editor? is Tom the analog managing editor and Andrew is digital? I think what they're doing there is something with Global's newsroom. We've heard whispers that Global's newsroom is going to be a big thing, maybe like get its own website or something like that. So we shall once again wait with interest on the plans for the digital managing editor of LBC.
Yeah, well, obviously they do a lot of the visualised stuff as well, and LBC very big on the clips and podcasts and things as well. So I'm sure Andrew will be looking after some of that stuff.
It would make sense. Put it all in one place.
Talking of digital things, the iPlayer radio app is getting closed down this month. It's a bit sooner than we thought it was going to get closed down as well. BBC Sounds for the World.
Yeah, we were expecting this. I mean, you use it in your Apple Play CarPlay, don't you? So is BBC Sounds good enough to replace iPlayer radio at the moment?
I think it's getting there. They've keep adding new things. So it works on CarPlay now, does BBC Sounds, has done for the last few months. It's not quite as easy in the car to find things as on iPlayer radio, I don't find. But, you know, I can live with it.
I'm sure they're working on it. I'm sure it's going to be the biggest thing since sliced bread.
And a story you're working on at the moment, read in eRadio this week, pirate DAB multiplexes. This is going on in Ireland. What's happening there?
Yeah, this is just, it's like evolution, isn't it? So the pirates, they're still on FM. Ireland, big for pirates, of course, and always has been. And now some guys decided, I'm going to start a pirate multiplex, which means that there's like a dozen pirate radio stations on this Guy multiplex in Cork. There's one just started in Dublin, and that publicly he's announced his plans to put one, you know, in pretty much every major area of Ireland. And this has happened. Do you remember Viamux or AirDab, John Evington and his team running a trial in Cork? Yes. Last year.
Yeah.
So basically, this guy who's doing the pirate multiplex went to them and said, can I come on your multiplex? I've got a radio station I want to put on. And there's so much red tape in Ireland, even more than in the UK with Ofcom. So if you want to broadcast via a multiplex, you need to pay a fee upfront for a five-year Section 71 license to go on a digital multiplex. Right. You know how much that costs for a five-year upfront license?
I don't know, a few hundred quid.
€14,000 plus
what?
That. Yeah, and then you've got to wait 5 months for the application to be processed. So it's a 12-month trial. You've got to pay £14,000 for a five-year license on a 12-month trial, and you've got to wait 5 months for it to arrive. So at best, you get 6 months of broadcasting on a platform that hardly anybody's listening to for £14,000. Then you've got to run the radio station. So it's not an easy thing. So this guy says, right, anybody want to come on my pirate mux for €100 a month? Come on board, which is why there's a dozen of them. And it's going to grow. So, yeah, it's just a bizarre situation.
So why are they not shutting that down if it's a pirate?
Well, I've been doing research on this because this is a biggie, as they say. So the IBI is the, if you don't know Ireland, the IBI is the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. It's like the radio centre in the UK. And they said, I asked them on the future of DAB and why they, you know, Ireland hasn't got proper multiplexes. They have got multiplexes. Some of the RT stations are on it, etc. But the IBI say, well, we're not really getting involved in DAB because some of our members have different views. Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah. So I went to the BAI, the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, and they said that it's nothing to do with us because unauthorised broadcasts are handled by Comreg.
Okay.
So I went to Comreg, and they said, what did they say? I think they copy and pasted me a line out of their Bible to say, anybody caught doing pirate broadcasting will be fined and convicted and blah, 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 blah. And didn't really answer my question, which was, are you going to shut them down? I think they're going to get away with it for quite a while.
What's worse than one regulator?
Two regulators,
yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem in Ireland, isn't it? But there we go. Right, well, we'll watch that one with interest. So radiotoday.ie for the details of that when you publish that, yeah. I guess.
Once I gather all the information, which... getting more bizarre by the day. It'll be on there.
A couple of other things just to mention quickly this week as well. Some presenter changes and things happening in the presenter space. Overnights at Talk Radio and Talk Sport have all changed this week. Paul Ross, who's been on overnights at Talk Radio for the last couple of years since he got moved from Breakfast, is now going to overnights at Talk Sport. And Daryl Morris replaces him during the week on Talk Radio. Well done, Daryl.
I wonder if Paul's still on his Breakfast salary. For doing overnights.
You would hope so. Yeah. Mm. And some cover this week at Magic. Spotted on Monday morning that Ronan Keating's off this week. And with Harriet Scott, it's Matt Baker off of The One Show and Countryfile. Big name BBC personality doing a commercial radio breakfast show. What's that all about?
Yeah, you'd think he'd do cover on radio too, wouldn't you, if the BBC were looking after him and his £500,000 salary.
Very strange.
Will Young next week as well, covering...
Okay, and Will Young's done some stuff on radio too, hasn't he, as a presenter?
Yeah, he has. He did overnights for a while, covering. Matt Baker has done some commercial radio before, though. I don't know if you know this or not.
Did he?
Yeah. Okay. So I checked Wikipedia, obviously the source of all information and accuracy.
Giving your secrets away now.
Yeah, and there was nothing on there, so I thought, yeah, it sounds about right. I don't think he's done a commercial music radio show before. But it turns out he has. He did two, three shows on Classic FM.
Okay.
Over a bank holiday once. He's done cover on Classic FM. So that's the article amended. And yeah, we'll see if Matt Baker comes up anywhere else.
Missed that. Right, lots of events going on as we get into the autumn. It's the IBC conference on at the moment in Amsterdam, and then Viamux are going on the road with their small-scale DAB roadshow. That starts this weekend in Belfast. It's then moving on to Edinburgh and Newcastle and various other places over the next few weeks. It's going to be the Radio Centre Tuning In North event with Howard Donald out of... Take that as the star turn at the Bridgewater Hall on the 25th of September. And then the Drive to Digital conference returns to the British Library on the 30th of October. Penny Smith announces the chair. They've announced some guest speakers for that as well. You'll find all the details at radiotoday.co.uk.
It's been an honour for you. Thank you very much.
Yes. Next, we got Mr. Gary Davis on the podcast.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Time now for some Ooh Gary Davis on your Radio Today programme. He's the legend from Piccadilly, Radio 1, Virgin, Real Radio, now Radio 2. Welcome to the podcast, Gary.
Thank you. No, normally I'm the guy that plays that jingle.
Sorry, we stole it.
It's all right.
And as we're recording this, you've just finished a week and a bit covering for Ken on the UK's biggest radio show, officially the most listeners to any radio show in the UK. How was it?
It was fantastic. I've been lucky enough to do the show a few times now, and I just thoroughly enjoy it. It's a great time of the day to work. His audience are brilliant, very warm, very friendly, except when it comes to Potmaster, when they're vicious.
You had a Max Pointer as well, didn't you, during this run that you've had, a 39-pointer?
Yeah, I know. I had my first Champions League, 39 points. It was, super cool. And actually, overall, this week, it's been quite a high-scoring week. So, they've done well with me.
And you got away without too many scandals, just Lulugate, I think, was it?
Yeah, Lulugate, I know, but we didn't want to mention that, did we? Thanks for bringing that up again.
Sorry. Okay, let's move on. So you've done a bit of cover for Ken. You've been covering for Steve Wright as well. I think you did The Breakfast Show this summer as well at one point.
I did it once and they never asked me back again. But it was really good fun, and I had a great time. And we actually had, it was on a Friday, so we had Paddy McGuinness and the Lighthouse family on the show, and it was really good fun. Paddy is just hilarious.
And the weird thing, of course, Wogan House has been done up again in the summer, so you're actually at Radio 1 this week, so that must be strange, being surrounded by Radio 1 logos.
I know, it's so funny, you know, but it's great to hang out with the cool kids. You know, as long as I wear black every day, I just fit right in. Might need to get a tattoo or two, you know.
So your big return to BBC Radio, it kind of almost happened by accident, didn't you? Because Simon Mayo got you in, I think it was during the Dance-a-thon a couple of years ago.
It was completely by accident. I mean, I never had any intention to come back to radio. But during the Dance-a-thon a couple of years ago, Simon Mayo called me up and said, look, nobody knows what you've been doing for years. Why don't you just come in and say hi? And I've been asked on many occasions before to come in and pop in on radio shows, but I just wasn't interested, didn't do it. For some reason, I just thought, you know what? I haven't been at the BBC for 25 years. Let's see how it's changed. And I hadn't seen Simon for years anyway. So I popped in and had a chat.
And before you knew it, you were covering for Sarah Cox then on Friday.
Yeah,
night,
so Sarah couldn't do one show, and they asked me to do her show. On Sounds of the 80s, which was terrifying having not done it for so many years, but really good fun. And I really enjoyed it. Then the powers that be asked me to do a couple of weeks looking after Steve Wright's show, which was even more terrifying, but great fun. And then before you know it, the schedule changed and they offered me Sounds of the 80s, which is just brilliant fun. I'm loving every second of it.
You've been doing that for the last year and a bit now. What are you doing to make that show your own? What are you doing with it? How different is it getting?
Well, if you listen to it, you'll know. Well, obviously, we've got, you know, since I took it over, we've got quite a few new features to the show.
We do
a master mix every week based on a theme, and they really are good. They really are good. For example, this week's master mix, ahead of Radio 2's Festival in a Day, we have a Pet Shop Boys master mix.
Ah.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing, yeah. And then we have things like My 80s as well, where we get listeners to come on and tell us about their four favourite songs from the 80s, and also a celebrity as well.
What's it like playing those songs again that you remember the first time round and breaking them on your show at lunchtimes on Radio 1?
It's brilliant. It really is brilliant. But we also try and play them again in a different way, if you like. Yes, the show's informative, but we also want the show to relate to not just the audience that was around in the 80s, but, you know, a younger audience today who maybe weren't around in the 80s, but they know the music. They know the music through films or Netflix TV series like Stranger Things. So we always try and keep the show, even though it's an 80s show, as current as we can.
And I guess queuing them up on VCS is a bit easier than the vinyl days as well.
It's a little bit different, yeah.
And the reaction that you've had, not only when you with the 80s show, but some of the cover that you've been doing, I know because you read out a lot of the texts that you get, listeners remember you from all that time ago, don't they? And they still love you.
Well, do you know what? It's been amazing. I, to be honest with you, I never thought anybody would remember me. But coming back to the BBC, like I said, it was unexpected, and the listeners have just been absolutely amazing, and I'm just having a new lease of life. I didn't actually realize how much I missed being on the radio till I came back, and now I'm just loving every second.
When it all started for you, I think is it 40 years ago this year? Not wanting to make you sound too old, but Piccadilly Radio, it was 79, I think. After all those tapes you sent,
you know, you're right. I never even thought about that, but you're absolutely right. I think it's something like September, October, or November. Yeah, 79 it was.
So this time, 40 years ago, you were sending tapes in for anybody who'd have you, because you were doing the clubs, weren't you? I think in Manchester.
Yeah, I was working in a club called Placemate 7 in Manchester, and I'd spent like 2 years trying to get a job on radio, and literally sending demo tapes out to every single radio station in the country, and just getting the sort of standard Xeroxed reply saying, no thanks, you're rubbish, no thanks, you're rubbish. Funny enough, the nicest rejection letter I ever used to get was from Radio 1. It was always very personal, it was always very polite. I got a gig with Piccadilly Radio and spent three very happy years there.
People remember you most probably at Radio 1, not only for the jingle, but for the bit in the middle, because you had the chart on a Tuesday afternoon at that point as well. So it was a really important time of day and show. And I think a lot of people, I'm slightly too young, but a lot of people I know from generation would skip school or, dive out and get a radio from in the back of class to be listening at that time.
Well, it was a lunchtime show. So I guess most schools were on their lunch breaks when we did the chart. But yeah, it was the first reveal of the UK chart. And back then the chart was so important. It really was the be all and end all for any artist. And we had the first reveal of it on Tuesday lunchtimes.
You mentioned the kind of breakaway from radio that you had. It wasn't that long that you weren't actually on the air, because after you left Radio 1, I know you were at Virgin for quite a long time. In fact, I think, have I heard a clip of you on your last show on Radio 1 actually telling listeners you were going to be on Virgin 1215? I don't think you could have got away with that these days, could you?
I don't know. I think somebody here did something similar as well.
I forgot about him. And you went on to have a long time there, actually 7 or 8 years, I think.
Well, the thing is, when I left Radio 1, I actually made a conscious decision that I would still do radio, but it wouldn't be my main occupation. So, for example, if I was going to do Virgin, which I did do for a while, it wasn't my main job. I didn't just want to rely on being a radio DJ, because I just had this feeling, that nothing would ever have been as good as Radio 1. Anything else I did after that would be a step down. And so that's when I made a conscious decision that, I'd start a music company and start a company where instead of, playing new songs on the radio, I'd try and find new artists that I can develop who hopefully will go on to get played on the radio.
And that's good groove, yeah.
That was good groove, which, to be honest with you, was a heck of a lot harder than I thought. It was really, really difficult. And it took a while before I managed to have any success. And actually, most of my savings I'd earned from being a Radio 1 DJ, I ploughed into the company, and I was in danger of losing everything. But then luckily managed to have my first chart hit with All Saints and a song called Black Coffee, which we published. So it saved my ass.
And you had Corinne Bailey-Rae, I think, as well, as another big hit.
And then, yeah, later on, I found Corinne Bailey-Rae and had the great pleasure of working with her on the first three albums.
So this week coming up, it's Radio 2 Live in Hyde Park. It's a festival in a day. You've got loads of massive acts on. You mentioned the Pet Shop Boys. You're going to be doing a DJ set, I think, before they're on stage. Is that right?
I'm the Pet Shop Boys warm-up guy. I'm really looking forward to it. Do you know, last year was my first time at Festival in a Day, and I just didn't realise how massive this was. And I did a Sounds of the 80s set just before Kylie came on stage. And the crowd is just massive. It reminded me sort of back to the old Radio 1 roadshow days when we used to do these massive roadshows. And, yeah, it was quite terrifying because I hadn't sort of worked in front of that sort of audience for many, many years. But I'm thoroughly looking forward to this year's. I think the lineup is superb. The Quo are back. Simply Red, who I absolutely adore. Westlife, Clean Bandit are great. The Bananas, I love Bananarama. Mm. And, of course, the Pet Shop Boys. And I was actually the first guy to play West End Girls on the radio. In fact, I made it my record of the week. Then it went on to be number one. So they owe me.
And I've seen on your Instagram, you're posting some of the kind of pictures of the 80s stars from first time round. And
yeah,
it's evident you had that great mullet in the 80s, even better than Pat Sharp's, and even probably before Pat Sharp had a mullet.
To be honest with you, that's not true. Pat Sharp always had a bigger mullet than me. But everybody had big hair in the 80s. It was the 80s. You had big hair. It was the norm. Everybody wore jackets with shoulder pads, you know. Everything was oversized and big. But that was the 80s. That was the style. That was the fashion. So, you know, if you were wearing it at that time, you just look normal. If you wear it today, you look a little bit strange.
And it's great seeing all the old Top of the Pops on BBC Four as well coming back, isn't it? Cheeky 20 quid here and there for the reruns.
Yeah, I know. Not going to retire off that.
And just ahead of Live in Hyde Park, I think you're on the telly again this weekend, Pointless Celebrities, that you recorded earlier in the year, Radio 2 special. That sounds like lots of fun.
Oh, is that happening this weekend?
Yeah, it's going on Saturday night.
Oh, how embarrassing!
Oh, you didn't win then.
I'm not saying anything. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't.
Who were you on with?
Well, obviously, it was a lot of the Radio 2, all Radio 2 presenters, but my partner was Craig Charles. I thought I'd do a tactical partnership because he'd done really well before and he'd been on it before. And of course, I'd never been on it before. Didn't really have a clue how it worked, to be honest with you. But anyway, yeah, we had a good time.
Well, we'll watch with interest and see how you got on. Great to talk to you, Gary. Thank you for coming on the Radio Today programme and good luck for Radio 2 Live in Hyde Park.
Thank you very much. Going to be great.
That's Gary Davis on the Radio Today programme. David Lloyd and James Cridland are still to come. First, a word about Clean Feed. It's a great way of hosting your show from a remote location in studio quality, or maybe getting a guest on your programme or on your podcast. Clean Feed has been designed especially for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to use and connect in live quality audio over the web. You can even record within the browser as well. CleanFeed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take 30 seconds to sign up and you'll be doing your first live interview or recording within minutes. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
Ooh, ooh. I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist, and it's 40 years since Trevor Horn wrote this song. Video didn't, of course, kill the radio star. 9 out of 10 people still listen to the radio every week in countries as diverse as Malaysia, the US, France, or the UK. Radio's reach hasn't changed in the last 20 years, so there are certainly many changes in consumption patterns. Video killed the radio star is, though, seemingly the phrase that any lazy editor will reach for in order to write a story, any story about radio. And if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, I keep an eye out for them. So just over the last few months, here are some that I've caught up with. A radio presenter played a round of golf in Kansas City. So what better lazy buggles headline than second hole-in-one didn't kill the radio star? The Star in Malaysia writes a long piece about video assistant referees used in soccer games. Video killed the radio star. It looks like it's coming for football next, concludes the journalist. And if you scroll down a bit, you'll notice the logos for Surya FM and 98.8, two radio stations run by Star Media, who may be a little confused why a sports journalist has just talked them down. Also, mate, you write for a newspaper. A newspaper. And TV Insider, a US publication covering the rapidly declining world of television, also managed to shoehorn a lazy Buggles introduction in front of a story about some dismal, hardly watched assembly of vapid, flickering pictures for the hard of thinking. I don't know what's more depressing, the frequent repetition of a lie that radio is somehow dead, or the odd behaviour from radio people to just sit on our hands and not demand a retraction from these publications. Why aren't we doing this? Isn't it literally our job? But let's leave the last word to the writer of the song, Trevor Horn. Video did not kill the radio star, he said. Maybe he had him down for a couple of minutes, but he came back up again swinging, and he's still healthy. Well, here's a remix for you, Trevor. Radio killed the video star. Oh, that didn't really work, did it? You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now, with better editing, hopefully, here's David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. 10 years ago this week, Chris Moyles broke a record.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Me and Dave are ruined this morning. I'll be honest with you. I can't lie.
I thought that we were going to pretend that we were fine.
Yeah, but we may as well just be honest now. Anyway, who'd have thought this would be the longest running breakfast show on radio? Not Tony Blackman, that's for sure. He's sitting there, he's turning in his radio grave. God love him. Morning, Tony. God love you.
Chris Moyles beating Tony Blackburn's Radio 1 breakfast record of 2,072 days. Chris, of course, now the longest running breakfast presenter on Radio X. Meanwhile, down the road at Radio 2, 10 years ago, a breakfast resignation.
And many of the listening population have spotted a report that next year I'm going to turn into Chris Evans. Now, I hate to tell you, but it's true. I was hoping to break it to you, my loyal listener, more gently. I wanted to be the first to tell you. It's the least I owe you for endless years and countless hours of morning companionship and friendship and good humour and laughter. And your loyalty and support's been a beacon of love. And this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my broadcasting career, to say goodbye to you in the mornings. But if not this year, when? 5 years? 10? I'd rather leave while we're in love, as the song says. While the programme is the most popular on British radio, while we still delight in each other's company. So this is not goodbye. It's not even au revoir.
Terry Wogan starting his long farewell on breakfast. 20 years ago this week, Bill Meeks died. Bill was the founder of PAMS, who used to make advertising jingles in the 50s, but increasingly focused on radio IDs. Many say they were the creator of the jingle industry we know today.
It's the BBC on your radio. Golden classic.
James Whale.
Thunderbridge. Radio Orwell.
Some of the typical work of PAMS as aired in the UK, marking the 20th anniversary of the death of Bill Meeks. Bill ran PAMS in America for 27 years. In the early 80s, after the government had changed and made up its mind about local radio at last, the number of local stations was growing again, both BBC and commercial. Let's start in Norfolk this week in 1980. And shall we have a trip round?
Well, we're across the road inside the building now. Okay. And in fact, this is the first glimpse of their new radio station that the public will have. It's the reception area, the place where you can bring your dedications, your record requests or what have you.
And what sort of kit have you got?
1980 radio is a world of complicated but versatile equipment, as you'll see shortly.
Oh, yes.
But of course, the moment approaches when Radio Norfolk goes on the air for the very first time. It goes on the air via its nerve centre. The nerve centre, of course, is the studio. Come with me.
Where is it? Careful.
And the man who's going to put Radio Norfolk on the air is my old friend John Mountford. Hello, John.
Hi, Ian.
How are you feeling?
BBC Radio Norfolk coming on air this week in 1980. Meanwhile, across in Leicester this week in 1981, commercial radio arrives. 10 minutes.
September the 7th, 1981, day 250 of the year, 115 to go, 93 shopping days till Christmas. It's Timmy on the tranny on Centre Radio 238, 97.1 in Super Stereo. Cliff Richard, our first record off on the station, wired for sounds from the centre of your dial, from the centre of the universe. This is Centre.
Take a date with 238, Centre Radio.
Another example of a station there using the name of its successor in its opening link. The word sound there, preparing for Leicester Sound, which replaced Centre this week in 84.
And of course, our engineering standards are high, with Leicester Sound loud and clear on medium wave and FM, from Loughborough to Market Harborough, Hinckley to Rutland. And that's all thanks to Professor Smith and his sidekick, Bodge.
Oh, yeah, it's only two screws. OK, yeah, as long as we don't get the pairs mixed up.
Behind the scenes, you won't hear them, but they'll be working hard to bring Leicester Sound to you.
The launch of Leicester Sound this week, 35 years ago. It now carries Capital Midlands. In 1982, we heard the last edition of Listen with Mother. It had been on air since 1952, first broadcast on the BBC Light programme in a 15-minute slot every weekday, just before Woman's Hour.
It's a quarter to three. Time for Listen with Mother.
Are you sitting quite comfortably?
Now, let's hear the song about Mary, Mary, quite contrary.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow?
Tomorrow, I'll tell you another story about Jacko the monkey. We'll sing Ring-a-Ring-a Roses, Polly Put the Kettle On, and perhaps Buy Baby Bunting again if we have time.
If we've got time, has she never heard of back-timing the nursery rhymes? Goodness, loads of press coverage about that issue. Actually, here we are. Bid to save programme. Eight toddlers sat in pouring rain on the pavement outside Downing Street yesterday to ask a famous mother to help save their favourite radio programme. The young Listen with Mother fans were joined by several more famous and older campaigners, such as Christopher Timothy, who said the programme the BBC want to replace it with lasts only 5 minutes, and it's just not good enough. Gail Pearson, aged four, said the BBC were nasty to take away her favourite programme. Even three-week-old Catherine Gardner was there to make her protest. Her mother, Carol Gardner, said Catherine would never know the pleasure of sitting on her lap and listening to such a good programme. A BBC educational programme spokesman said,
"We are not prepared to change our minds."
And they didn't. There we are, the end of Listen with Mother this week in 1982.
I'll say goodbye now till tomorrow.
So, with the start of Classic FM 27 years ago,
welcome to Britain's first national commercial radio station. This is Classic FM. I'm Nick Bailey.
The first live show on BBC 4 Extra a year ago.
Radio 4 Extra, this is Cathy Clugston. Do you know what? I am tired of being a staid, trusted voice.
Radio West, closing down 34 years ago, becoming part of GWR.
This is Mark Seaman on behalf of all the Radio West staff and presenters, both past and present, wishing you a pleasant Monday and all the best for the future. Can I also thank you for your loyalty and your listenership over the past 4 years.
And the Buggles, releasing this song 40 years ago. It didn't. It won't. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thank you, James. Thank you, Roy. And to my guest this week, Gary Davis. Next time on the Radio Today programme, Roy and I are going to be at Radio 2 live in Hyde Park and hopefully talking to some of the Radio 2 presenters backstage. Join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.